You're listening to Event CEO, a podcast for executives who are looking to maximize their event ROI through business strategy, technology, and innovation.
Welcome to the Event CEO podcast. I'm Megan Cumming, Vice President of Operations for Linder Global Events, and I am delighted to be guest hosting today's conversation with my colleague and friend, Linda Lindemood. She is Vice President of Safety and Logistics here at Linder Global Events. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you very much, Megan.
So Linda has been, how long have you been with Linder?
Going on my 11th year.
Oh, congrats. But even before here at Linder, Linda was a boss and she's had a long history of amazing opportunities. She brings really over 20 years of experience in logistics, protocol, safety, and security. She's held leadership roles at Walt Disney World, where she was responsible for the safety movement and magical experience for hundreds of thousands of visitors each year. She's also worked for UPS and logistics and was vice president of transportation for one of Washington, D.C.'s premier transportation companies. She really is responsible for safety and security protocols for all of Linder's events. So this includes some of our largest, the National Cherry Blossom Festival's annual parade, one of my favorites, and this year's historic celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Apollo moon landing on the National Mall, which ran for two nights with more than 500,000 guests attending and watching the illumination of the National Monument. It was pretty amazing.
Thank you.
So Linda, as you know, we're talking today about safety and security of events, and proper event safety and security planning and effective emergency response is really vital to any event strategy. And I think the entire events industry has had to think about safety today in ways we never have before. And this touches not only events, but certainly in your own personal life. You've walked into different buildings for meetings and have been searched to make sure you're not bringing in any wrong items or materials or anything that would pose a threat. And we see this across a lot of our events as well. But given your, you know, history and experience in this area, I would love to start the conversation by really hearing from you how you feel that the landscape of events safety and security has changed.
Sure. You know, it's really interesting because I've been doing events for a long time. When I was at Walt Disney World, I was the senior event manager for all things in the Magic Kingdom. And that was, you know, prior to 9/11. And it was just your normal security guards were standing there watching people come in and go about their business. And the focus really wasn't on, you know, the exits and how people, you know, move around an event and what they're carrying with them or how they're body language is speaking to people. And you know, since 9/11, we've had quite a bit of a change. People start to look at things differently, you know, even at airports. I mean, but prior to 9/11, airports, you just went right in and you went to your, plane, you know, so that is also gone into an events, you know, depending on the level of the event, depending on the attendees, depending on all types of different scenarios, you know, you build different plans. And, you know, in today's climate, that has really somewhat taken a front seat. It used to be a back seat. Now it's a front seat. People are thinking through, what do I do if? And that's a really interesting way to look at things. You know, a lot of times I'll be in meetings and start to talk through a health and safety plan or a security plan. And sometimes that makes people a little nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, health and safety and security is not about making people nervous. It's making them aware. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and building that into your plan, understanding your event, your client, the environment of that type of an event is really truly what we're looking at now and trying to make sure that every event has some type of a health and safety or security plan.
Yeah. And we safety and security is a very kind of broad topic. And there's a lot of things we could be addressing. But as event planners, we have to look across the full spectrum, right? So we're talking even weather and traffic, crowds, threats, just making sure that we're even having some of those discussions,
right?
And thinking through the flow of the event. So what questions should planners be asking to really assess their event's unique security risk? Because there are public events and private events, there's large scale, there's smaller ones. What are some of those key questions?
So, you know, I think that there's a lot that come into play when we're working with our clients to plan their events and to put the health and safety plan in or the security plan in, you know, if it's necessary. I would say, though, first and foremost, out of the gate, as experienced professionals in the industry, our responsibility is to really truly understand what our clients' goals are, what they're trying to accomplish in their event, and then understanding who is coming to the event, the demographics. Mm-hmm. So in our early planning stages of our events, we do ask those questions. You know, there are some folks that, you know, cater to a certain type of an audience, where they might have ADA needs, or they might have special assistance things that need to come into play. All of these things are very, very important questions to ask. To also ask about how the audience likes to participate and what type of an event it's going to be. Is it going to be a seated dinner where everybody has to arrive at one time, or is it going to be a reception where people just come in at their leisure? Mm-hmm. Those are two very different scenarios, and planning for that is from a security standpoint. You know, for instance, if you have a seated dinner for 1,000 people and they're all getting there at one time, how do you manage that audience to go through bag checks? Are they in the elements? How do you cover that? Do you, you know, build into your plan a flow entrance or multiple entrances? All of these things come into play. It's not all about, you know, planning for the worst case scenario. Health and safety and security is planning for the steps. Planning and mitigating and building in a plan to make it all come together. And that's what I think in my role is a unique thing. In logistics, security is a very serious gear in the whole mechanics of the event. I shouldn't say just security, health and safety of all of our guests, our staff, everybody, and the community in which we serve.
So I've heard you say it twice, actually, a health and safety plan. Can you tell us, what is that?
Sure.
Why do we need it? What types of events would it work for?
So honestly, in our organization, we do health and safety plans for every event. Some of them are full-blown, very elaborate health and safety plans, depending on the type of event, depending on the number of attendees, and whether it's an outdoor event or an indoor event.
But walk me through, so what is included? What are the components of a health and safety plan?
Health and safety plan is, one, talking about all of the elements of the event as far as the key points, the arrival times, the capacities, where they're coming from, where the local hospitals are. Mm-hmm. If we have, you know, 500 people at one event, you know, should we have something where we need to, someone trips and falls and we need to get them to the hospital, or not just that person, but that person has family with them or other people that might want to go to the hospital with them. So in our health and safety plan, not only do we have a plan for injuries and incidents, we also have a plan for those people who are attending with them so they can go join them at the hospital, or if they needed to go to the hospital on their own. We have all of that in place. The health and safety plan is a great thing to have, but it's worthless if you don't share it. Our team, they all get at least fact sheets that they have the general information. So if a guest should come up to them and ask them a question, or they just needed to have knowledge of certain things, these are practices that we put into place regardless of our event. So a plan is only as good as it is shared.
Yeah. And that's actually a good point. So the health and safety plan really is the roadmap of how we're responding to anything that takes place on site, who needs to be notified, how they should be notified, and kind of what the chain of communication would be, which is great.
Yep.
And I know there's some venues, hotels, certainly government buildings that have these are existing. An event planner should be asking to see what already exists and then overlaying kind of their event and how that might impact what that looks like.
Certainly understanding the venue is super important because, you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, I think, is in the contingency planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're working in a venue and you're planning, your best laid plan is to come in one door and then all of a sudden there's construction out on the sidewalk and you have a contingency plan and your flow through the building. So yeah, all of those things are super important. And I think that some of our greatest successes in events is understanding the venues, understanding their protocols, and understanding how to communicate with them and all of us being on the same page. So I always go back to sharing that plan. we share our plans with the venues. We share our plans with law enforcement and local authorities in different areas just to make sure that that plan is practiced.
And are you sending that? So is there a certain kind of threshold of timing of when that plan should be created and sent out to all of the partners? And are you asking for feedback, or are you just sharing so that they understand how to move through?
You know, depending on the different size of event, you know, there are some plans that are ongoing. The size and scale of the event, you know, when we're building a health and safety plan for a large scale event, a lot of times we'll bring in our local stakeholders, our different agencies. You know, particularly here in Washington, D.C., the Mayor's Task Group is completely supportive of our large scale events and are very vital in its creation of the health and safety plan. Those are the professionals. Those are the people that we like to work alongside to make sure that we have the best laid plans for our events and for our attendees.
Okay. And you brought up something very important. For us who've been working this event for months, we're knee deep into it. We know it inside and out. You know, that health and safety plan is awesome. And,
yep.
and it feels like something that, you know, we've all contributed to. And so on site, we feel like we would all be able to respond well. But we are scalable. We go to an event and we have amazing contract staff that come and help support us. We've got volunteers from the client. There's other people who are helping to work the event. How do we really make sure that we are training and communicating both to our full-time group, but also to everybody else who's helping to support and make the event great?
That's a great question and comment, if you will. So I'd like to just, if you can, we just got done with the 50th anniversary of Apollo.
Yeah.
And that event had two components. We actually had a festival that took place daily for 3 days during the daytime. And then at night, we had the illuminations of the projection on the Washington Monument. At the beginning of each workday, we had a safety briefing. And that safety briefing is an all hands. That is exhibitors, that is staff, volunteers. They even, in our safety briefings, all of our medical staff that we had on site, mm-hmm. all of our lost children folks that were there to support, all of the people that were working that event had a safety briefing at the beginning of their workday, where we shared the emergency plan if we had to do evacuations. You know, especially with that, we were outdoors. Mm-hmm. So there were a number of occasions with that where we had inclement weather. It was 100 degrees in July.
So hot. Yes.
Yes. It was really, it was hot. But everyone knew the evacuation plan should we had to call it for weather. And, you know, for especially the Apollo 50 Go for the Moon event on the anniversary evening, we had some lightning and some weather in the area, and we worked with our Unified Command Center, and we monitored the weather down to the distance of the lightning, the wind speed, all of those things. And we had some determinations to make. We had over, you know, a couple hundred thousand people out there that we were responsible for. Mm-hmm. So the coordination with the shelters, all of the Smithsonians were open and ready to receive anybody. Should we have to evacuate the area? All of the local law enforcement and different agencies were all on board, and they were all in that unified command, along with an event professional that knew the event inside and out and was able to talk to all of those elements. You know, fortunately, we had, you know, we got past the weather and we had a beautiful event. But when you're talking about all those gears moving in sequence and making sure that you are doing the right thing, the best thing for the public and everyone is super important. And no one person is that sole savior. It comes into a lot of people working together and practicing a plan and understanding a plan going into these big events.
I did love that for that event, and you know, it's something that I'd like to put into place for future events. We had a meteorologist on like speed dial.
Yeah, yeah.
They were able to call and they were dedicated to our area, our group. They knew what we were trying to do. And I think for other future events that we're practicing outdoors for any mm-hmm. size, having somebody to be able to talk to who's got more weather information than maybe I do on my iPhone app. It's very
important. There's a lot of apps out there.
There are a lot.
Depending on what you're looking at. So yeah, that's true.
And you mentioned kind of this unified command, and obviously an event such as that, Scale, really pulls across a lot of different agencies. You know, for an event that might be smaller in nature, more contained, indoors, you know, so we've got all of our staff on site. We always do, for any of our events, certainly a staff briefing that goes through the roles of everybody. I think that's a great place where you could also then review health and safety plans, any contingency plan that you have. Mm-hmm. So it should have been shared in advance before anyone comes on site, but certainly being able to then go through the steps, make sure anyone has any questions that they ask them.
Yep.
And it's their responsibility. If you're participating in an event and supporting it, you should, just as you know your role, you should also know then if something were to happen, what to do.
Yep.
And you also then bring up, so attendees have some responsibility, I think, in terms of, you know, how do they make sure that they're operating safely, that they're attending safely? I mean, what do you think is their responsibility when they're coming on site to an event?
You know, I think that there's a lot of ways that the guests or attendees can help out. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening in the world, and people seem to be hypersensitive to a lot of things. But I would say to a guest the same thing that I would say to our staff: be diligent. You know, pay attention to your surroundings. If something is a trip hazard, you know, that could cause a whole bunch of people to trip and fall, do something about it. Say something about it. So, you know, you go into that whole, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
That is on a broad scale.
That's true.
You know, just for instance, you know, at an event venue that has an escalator, let's not put a table in front of that up or down side of that escalator, because there is no place for people to go. So, when we're looking at these things, health and safety and security and all of those things, it could be an easement.
Mm-hmm.
It could be properly making sure that your exit signs are illuminated at a night event, making sure that there is a very clear path for people to move about. It's, you know, people talk about all the time your safety briefings. In your safety briefings, you should also be letting people know where the restrooms are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the number one question at events.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are the restrooms? Where's the medical? Where's the elevator? How do we get out? Where's the ADA section? All of these things are all components of health and safety and security. We're here to watch out for everyone's best interest and their safety. I take it seriously, and I think this organization, which I absolutely am so proud to say, is this organization put safety first. We have these things in place. And you know, it wasn't just something that was just here. It was something that we continuously learn.
I've learned from you.
Thank you.
True. You know, when I am producing an event, there's a lot of hats that I'm wearing in terms of different perspectives for the event. How does the registration table look like when you come in? What are you going to hear? What's that feeling as an attendee as you walk through? What I learned from you was that you need somebody to walk through the event before it begins that is not just looking at kind of what it looks like, what it feels like, but also from this safety perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, you've got a cord hanging out over by the staircase on the right, or did you see your vendors, you know, they haven't used cable ramps, or, you know, the caterer's walking too quick with super hot soup. There's a lot of things that you could think about that when you're on site, all of the best laid plans, just having somebody walk through that's looking from a different perspective is super helpful. And that's what you do. And it taught me a lot about how to look at the event differently.
And, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, even when I was back at Disney, you know, one of those things is walking and paying attention to your surroundings, but not just doing it by yourself. Share. As you're walking through, as I'm walking through with you or anybody else on our team, I will point out certain things because if I see it, then it should be addressed. Or
see it, say it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or the other piece to this is it's not just pointing out the negatives. It's also about, you know what, Megan, look how beautifully all of that cable is tied in.
Yeah.
Look at the scaff on that. Or, you know, we're talking industry speak here. But honestly, at the end of the day, let's celebrate those wins. Let's celebrate when we have a safe work site, because it's a big lift, but it shows people's commitment to people's safety, their commitment and dedication to making sure that the guest experience, whether it's beautiful floral or a clean lit walk path, those are equally important.
I love that you see beauty in that. And I remember being at an event with you. We were actually out on the mall, a ton of tents. And of course it rained, as it usually will. And I was feeling very sad about the rain. And you walked up with this huge smile on your face and you said, did you see the way those tent gutters worked? Look at how beautiful the water is just moving off of the tent into the ground. And I thought, yes, you know, that is a win. Well, that is good. So it's always how you look at it that matters.
Yeah, glass half full, right?
Yes. And I think our vendors, as we talk about tenting and audiovisual and caterers, you know, they also have a responsibility to be a part of this conversation. They play a huge role in any event that you're pulling off. And they're bringing people and equipment and moving through different spaces. So your venue also is a big one. You know, any comments you'd like to make on how vendors can participate in?
Absolutely. You know, our vendors are those people that are, you know, building things and using heavy equipment. Just, you know, what we're seeing differently, which we never saw before, is PPE. So,
can you say
I'm going to give
please?
You a PPE.
PPE. Okay, got
yes,
it.
Yes. Yes, it's personal protection equipment. So,
got it.
So, in other words, like for Apollo, when we were out on the mall, we had a 24-hour load-in operation for 14 days, load in, load out. And, you know, we all wore these high-res safety vests and hard hats whenever there was elevated work or there were things moving through the air. We were, you know, moving crates or SCAF or whatever it was. And it's interesting to see people come to work. I know I get excited about this, like super excited, but when people come to work with a safety vest and a flashlight and even a whistle, I get teased all the time about the whistle.
The whistle.
But
I've heard this whistle.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But
it's effective.
They come to work prepared.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful thing. And, you know, and not everything is a 500,000 person event out on the National Mall. You know, even the people who are building for, let's just talk about that 100-person intimate plated dinner. Well, you know, we're hanging scaffolding and lighting and all kinds of things. You know, we have scissor lifts going up in the air and hanging pipe and drape. And, you know, having those people that are up in that scissor lift, having their protective gear on, their PPE on, with their harnesses and locked in and ensuring people's safety,
very
you know,
important.
Making sure that the area underneath of where that elevated work is happening is secure. I mean, is just, that is so important.
And what else is important is so many of these vendors are working on top of one another.
Yeah.
Right? The stage decor is you know, standing on top of what AV company is doing, the caterers walking through what the registration team, I mean, everybody is moving so quickly and everyone's goal is you got to get it set up. There's a small amount of time. And I think making sure that those safety enhancements are being met, you know, goes a long way in just making sure that everybody is working well on literally on top of each other.
You know, it's I love that you're bringing this up because, you know, prior to the event, we talked about the pre-planning and mitigation and all those things. So prior to having the event, when you have your vendor production meetings and you're literally going line by line and talking about what needs to happen first. So this is my logistical heaven.
There you go.
I absolutely love it. One thing can't happen before the other. But bringing them together, they know their business and they know what needs to happen first. And for us to all be on the same page and understand how that's going to happen, that also contributes to the safety. You know, God forbid we should have 15 trucks show up at the same time and everybody's trying to roll gear out. Yeah, that kind of stuff is crazy. So as much as we can do on the front end of things and the planning and making sure that we're building a timeline that is, you know, sequential, logistics, woo-woo, you know, I love that. And it's the 30,000-foot approach. And anytime we're looking at our events, that's what we're looking for. But I want to bring up something that, you know, we talked about just yesterday, Megan. So we have all of these moving parts and building these events and getting everything ready, you know, to be ready on opening day. You know, a lot of times after you've been on site for 14 days in 100 degree weather,
mm-hmm.
you know, the end of the event, everybody's just like ready to go. And then sometimes
rushing to get out.
Yeah, they're rushing to get out. And that's something that we also have to continue to pay attention to. As important as that sequential event on the in is, it's equally important and even more important on the out, because people tend to be rushing and they're working to get things out. So, you know, making sure that both plans are in place and making sure that, you know, we don't just put all of our concentration and focus on bringing a great show to our audiences and making sure our clients' events are as spectacular as they imagine. Because at the end of the day, the clients go home at the end of the event. It's us and the vendors who are there to make sure that last impression of that event goes out in a safe manner and it's just flawless.
Yeah, no, I agree. So then how, in terms of technology and what we're seeing in events, obviously the event industry grows every year with new technology that's out there, new information, how we're sharing it, new ideas, both the on-site experience and beforehand. What are you seeing in technology around kind of safety or anything that we can assume will happen in the future that we can get excited about?
I would say from a technology standpoint, one of the biggest and most popular apps are the Weather Ops. So Weather Ops is an event app that we used for Apollo. Not only did we have that meteorologist through the Unified Command Center, but we also had Weather Ops, which was an event app that you can have a membership to or sign into. And for your specific event, particularly for an outdoor event, you can monitor the weather that's leading up to it weeks out and see what those trends are. And then all the way up to the minute of where your storms are going and things like that. So we've seen tragedies over the years where people are just like, lightning's over there. It's not going to hit us. But unfortunately, we've had some instance, out in Indiana State Fair where there were, you know, things that were ignored. But for this weather ops thing, I have seen it pick up momentum beyond belief. People are really, really interested in that app. One of the other things that I wanted to kind of talk about that is that, so, you know, I'm talking a lot about the outdoor events, but we do a lot of indoor events.
Yeah.
So you might say, well, why would anybody want a weather ops for an indoor event? Well, you definitely want to have that, because if you are having an indoor event and you have a horrible, you know, weather situation coming in that might prevent you from having a marquee entrance, or you might...
Your valet. You're looking at those umbrellas, yes.
So, you know, when you're thinking through all of those things, having a weather ops app is amazing, and it will help you, and it is something that I've seen happen all the time. You know, as far as other apps, there are apps that are crowd management apps that you can actually, there have been studies done on outdoor festivals where they can actually track the volume of the people and watch them moving through the festival, where their saturation, where they can repurpose or redirect their guests on exits. And, you know, that's something. You know, we didn't use an app when we were at Disney. When I was the park duty manager, I used to go and stand on the roof. I would stand on the roof and I would watch the people exit the park after fireworks.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, that's the spectacular, right?
Yeah.
So I would stand and I would watch from the roof. And if I could see pavement, I knew if I could see pavement between the guests' movement, I knew that it was safe. I knew that there was still a natural flow that we could accommodate. If people were standing still and I could not see any pavement,
it's too tight.
It was my opportunity to talk to the rest of the park to say, open this gate and let's take them through there. Open this gate and take them through there. Because at the end of the day, when people get in large crowds, they get anxious.
And they do, and their behavior changes. Mm-hmm. And you standing on top of that building, now you're still standing in a command post, but you're looking across how many different screens and monitors from cameras in any building. And it's shocking how many buildings have that.
Yep.
Even if they're a smaller building, they're all looking at entrances, exits, people movement, flow. And it's something that as an event manager, you should be asking what they have in their building and when you would want or need any access to that, what that kind of protocol looks like.
And you know, we use that. We use that in Apollo. The Apollo event was you know, one.
You had a helicopter. Yes.
Well, we had U.S. Park Police that were there to help us with that. But we also, you know, this was a free and public, open to the public event. There were not bike rack and all of these things that typically come with those large masses of audience. However, there was a plan for everything. And I kind of touched on that with the command post and everything and all of the different agencies. But one of the things that we did, we had access to some of the roofs on mm-hmm. the Smithsonian. We also had security people, our security team, that was with us on the ground. And we did exactly what we did, what I used to do at the Magic Kingdom, is we looked at the ground. We looked to see if we could see space between the people. And we looked to see if the easements were safe. We maintained, you know, with that audience, we still were able to maintain walk paths and easements, but it was because we could see it from above. So I'm going to go right back to what I was telling you about that those crowd management apps. Some of those crowd management apps are just so unbelievably effective. So when you're looking at big festivals and things like that, they can see where their audience is saturated. They can see the other exits, and they can have their people on the ground.
Tools to how to then adjust.
Move them around, yeah. And you can also, those apps are so smart that they can actually do a crowd management count based on the footprints.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so there are a lot of apps out there that are coming forward in technology.
And I think, so that, which you and I geek out on, is super cool. For attendees at the event, I mean, I think they can really participate on social media. Most events have some hashtag, they've got some mm-hmm. dedicated traffic, but that's also where someone would be making an emergency broadcast. So if you're at an event, a public event, they would be making sure that they're blasting out across all their social media channels if there needs to be an emergency announcement. So I think attendees can also make sure that they're paying attention to what that is and participate there.
The you know, there are a couple other things that we've used recently. And actually, and it's, well, one, if you have any type of, you know, LED walls or any type of displays, you know, one, you can have those messages already typed up and ready to display. Yeah, but we go into events. I can tell you with Apollo, we had 37 announcements ready to go at the touch of a button to let our audience know what was happening. Delays, cancellations, next show time, all of those things. So there's things that we call it canned. So you can do canned announcements.
Yeah. Which I love, because then in the moment, you're not having to kind of go back and forth around
what somebody on a live mic,
to use. How are you going to do that? You've already approved it, reviewed it, and you're ready to go.
And a lot of that, we put that in front of law enforcement. So we put all of our announcements in front of our stakeholder partners. One of the neat things that we actually use, and the first time I was introduced to this was when we did the opening of the National African American History and Culture Museum. We worked with our partners at U.S. Park Police, and they have a system, an alert system, that they use for all large scales in events in the city. That's called Nixel. So what they do is, for instance, for Apollo, we went in and we gave them a hashtag, Apollo whatever it was. Apollo 50 was our hashtag. And then what we did is, when we put it out on social media, anybody that wanted to have any types of updates about the Apollo events, all they had to do is text 777-888 and they typed in Apollo 50. And then they would automatically be enrolled in getting all of these announcements from U.S. Park. So we literally were putting out all of these announcements. Yeah.
And you can probably do that. So this is specific to kind of the Park Police that we were working with here in D.C. I mean, obviously, they operate everywhere. But I would assume that a lot of cities,
city agencies,
would have some of this service that people can opt into. It's like going to college as a parent. You opt in also so you can hear anything that's happening with your kids. But it has a very kind of serious note that it is for all those mass announcements. I mean, everybody's carrying a phone. Being able to reach everybody like that is important these days.
Yeah, and I got an email.
So my kids are in elementary school. There is now tracking on all the school buses so that you can see how long you have to stand outside in the cold or the rain, and you know how far away your bus is. So I would like for events, so that as we're standing on the curb waiting for our arrival of buses, I can watch their progress like I can my Uber when I call them and know, oh, no, they're still four blocks away or they're coming close. That is what I would like to see.
That would save
future.
A lot of stress.
That'd be amazing. That'd be awesome. All right, so Linda, we've talked about a lot of things, but kind of as I'm thinking through some key takeaways, really the first would be you need a health and safety plan for any event. And it's something that you should be inclusive of and making sure that you're working across all of your partners to have it drafted and certainly shared with everybody who's participating and supporting the event. I think another big one is if you see something, say something.
Yes.
You're walking through your event, you're doing it beforehand or in the middle of, everybody on your team should have that mantra. All the attendees should feel comfortable saying something as well. This should be mm-hmm. something that you're incorporating into kind of your methodology through events. And I think really the third for me takeaway is the out is just as important as the in. So we all talk about how safe we need to be with vendors and the load in, and we work a lot on what those timetables look like. And the out, I think from what I'm hearing from you, really needs to have that same amount of focus and seriousness on what that plan is.
Sure.
Can you tell us really just what are some resources that you use that can be recommended to our listeners?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, some of the resources I use, one in particular that I've used and actually included our team in is FEMA. So the Federal Emergency Management Agency has a number of free online courses that you can take to talk about incident management and to talk about special event contingency plans. They also come along with all of those documents that you need to plan your events, checklists and incident action plans and all types of things. And a lot of that we include in our health and safety plan. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that is our guide. Also, the Department of Homeland Security, it's a division of FEMA. They have some amazing resources. They have people that are willing and raising their hands to come and talk to you about some of their planning for special events. We also work closely with the DC government. So I will go on to dc.gov and go to the special events tab on that. They have a full list of what you need to consider when you're planning your events, your health and safety plan criteria through the Department of Health. Mm-hmm. So there are so many different divisions and agencies that are out there, and they're literally at our fingertips, and they're free to talk to. I also, you know, I refer to the National Park Service guidelines. I know that, you know, that's just specific to Washington, D.C., but there's a lot of events that we do out there, and every event is different. So I go back to that time and time again to just make sure that I am double checking everything and making sure that I have everything in place for, you know, our programs. So
Awesome. There
are a number of agencies or associations that people should really kind of tap into that are great resources. The Event Safety Alliance, we're a member of that. They have a book that you can get online for free. It's amazing. It gives you different levels of health and safety. It gives you a wind measure. It gives you how many porta pots you need per event. It tells you all of these things that you should take into consideration as you're planning your events. So I go to that book quite frequently. Also, we belong to the International Festival and Events Association.
Yes.
They have an annual meeting that we attend every year. Great resources, great resources. You know, there's a lot of other special event agencies or associations out there that we, you know, belong to. And I know that you actually were on some of them as well. But really, truly look into your area. Because honestly, if you think about it, across the world, no matter what city we work in, because we are a global events agency, no matter what city we go into, we go into them and we approach it the same way. There are, you know, government ordinances that we have to consider. There are roadways that we have to consider. So we approach it similarly, no matter where we are in the world. New York City, We use a health and safety plan in New York City that is so similar to the one that we use here.
Yeah.
And all of that comes off of their agency websites. So I would say it's at your fingertips. Truly just reach out to your local government and they have everything in place for special events.
I love it. I love it. Well, Linda, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for chatting today.
Oh, my pleasure.
All the insights. And so, Linda, you know, we've been talking mostly about kind of physical safety and security. We didn't talk about data security, which in this day and age is just as important.
Yep.
Rebecca did an entire podcast about this recently with Natalie Evans-Harris. There is a link below if you're interested in listening. It's definitely worth it. It was a great show. If you have more questions for me or for Linda that you want answered about today's conversations or suggestions for a future episode, email us at eventceo@linderglobal.com. And please follow us on all social media. Our links are listed on our website, which is linderglobal.com. And please tell your event friends and colleagues about us. Subscribe and follow us on social media for updates and news on the latest episode releases. So thank you for listening. And until next time, make your days great.